David Higdon, could you open us in prayer, please?
Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that we can come and sing and worship thee, Lord of Lords, King of Kings. Thank you, Lord, for this season when we remember your birth. We pray for each of those who this morning have a part in the music ministry, that you will give them clarity of thought and a good ability, a good voice to honor and glorify them.
You can be seated, please. Turn to 222. Oh, hearken ye. This might be new for most, I guess. We'll sing all three verses. 222, oh, hearken ye. Oh, hearken ye. Stand with me, please. We'll sing all the verses, all the refrains. 205, go tell it on the mountain.
Thank you. we celebrate the one greatest gift that you gave to us. And we hope that you will accept this small portion as we try to give back to you. We hope you will continue to lead, guide, and direct us as we continue throughout our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Tobias. That was beautiful. And honestly, that's an interesting arrangement, an interesting pairing of songs. One of the sweetest of the Christmas carols, Away in a Manger, with the darkest of all Christmas carols, the Coventry Carol, it's called, because that's the one about the slaughter of the innocents, Herod's slaughter of those children, and how he sent his men to find the Christ child and to murder all the little boys under the age of two in the region of Bethlehem. And the pairing of those was interesting. Thank you. Appreciate that. Now, there aren't any outlines today. Instead of outlines, there's another bulletin that had a Christmas print on the front that gives you the list of the songs the choir is going to sing here. It doesn't list in there the various narrations. Chad's going to read the narrations for us. But I included the words of the songs just because it's often helpful to have those there to be able to follow along. As the choir sings this program of songs about the birth of that king who we've come to worship.
The story of Christmas captivates us with its excitement, grandeur, and pageantry. It includes messages delivered by angels, visitors guided by a star, songs and gifts and celebration. More importantly, it's a vital chapter in the story of God's program of redemption as the Son of God is born to reveal the Father and to be our Savior. When the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. To understand the story of Christmas, we need to go back to a time long before the angel appeared to Mary or the star appeared to Eastern wise men. The story of Christmas has been part of God's program from the very beginning of time. The first two chapters of the Bible tell us that Adam and Eve were created to worship God and enjoy fellowship with Him. Almost immediately, Adam's rebellion disrupted his relationship with God. God dealt with Adam's sin by pronouncing a curse that included a promise of redemption. To the serpent who deceived Eve, God said, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel." Many generations later, God chose Abraham to be the father of a great nation and identified Abraham as the one through whom mankind would be blessed. "I will bless you and make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth will be blessed." As more time passed, God's promise of a redeemer became clearer and more specific. A great and good king would arise through Abraham's great-grandson, Judah. "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until Shiloh comes, and to him shall be the obedience of the peoples." Later, God would reveal other details through the prophets. Micah told us that the promised one would be born in Bethlehem. Isaiah said the Redeemer would be born of a virgin and would be a great king. "Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and will call his name Emmanuel. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace."
prophets knew long ago this child would be the king. Glory to God, let heaven and nature sing. God in human frame, your Messiah was your sire.
God revealed through Daniel that the promised Messiah would appear and then be cut off about 483 years in the future. The passing of those years saw an ever-increasing intensity in Israel's anticipation of the coming king. They didn't know exactly what to expect, but they knew their long wait was nearly over.
Ground by still and cold.
Isaiah had prophesied that another would come before the king to announce his approach and to prepare the people to receive him. As the time of Messiah's appearing drew near, the angel Gabriel came to a priest named Zechariah and said, "Your petition has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will turn many of the sons of Israel back to the Lord their God. It is he who will go as a forerunner before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children, and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous, so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." After Gabriel's startling announcement to Zechariah, God sent Gabriel to deliver another message to another person. This time, he would be speaking to a virgin girl named Mary, who was engaged to a man named Joseph. Both of them were descended from Israel's King David of the tribe of Judah. God's promise of a king who would arise from Judah was about to be fulfilled. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end."
Christmas, love of God, we love thee, God.
Centuries before, during their sojourn in the wilderness, the nation of Israel had encountered a reluctant prophet named Balaam. He was hired by the king of Moab to pronounce a curse upon Israel. But every time Balaam tried to do so, the Spirit of God came upon him so that his words actually prophesied blessing for the Jews. On one occasion, he predicted the appearance of a star associated with the coming Messiah. The oracle of him who hears the words of God and knows the knowledge of the Most High, who sees the vision of the Almighty falling down yet having his eyes uncovered. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come forth from Jacob. A scepter shall rise from Israel. Centuries later, the prophet Isaiah made a prediction that Jewish scholars understood to be related to Balaam's prophecy of the star. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear upon you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Some wise students of the ancient text understood these prophecies to predict the appearance of a new star or a radiance in the heavens to signify the advent of the promised king who would bring hope and peace to mankind.
Thank you.
The gospel writer Luke tells the story of the Savior's birth, including Joseph and Mary's journey to Bethlehem, and the fact that they were spending the night in a stable when Mary went into labor and delivered her firstborn son. This child was the Son of the Most High God, who would bring salvation for sin, and who would eventually rule as the eternal King. This message of deliverance was announced by angels to a group of shepherds outside the village of Bethlehem. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." The astonished shepherds hurried into Bethlehem to verify this announcement. When they found the baby exactly as the angels had promised, they went through town announcing what God had revealed about this child. "The waiting is over. The King has arrived. Come, welcome the Child of Light." The birth of Jesus was the culmination of centuries of prophecies. God had orchestrated events to bring about the advent of the Savior at just the right moment in history. Perhaps the most surprising aspect of this event is that it was celebrated by so few. The most important person ever born, whose birth had been predicted by the prophets and announced by the angels, entered the world in obscurity. He came to bring life and light to a world overwhelmed by the darkness of sin. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend. Remember the star that appeared to mark either the conception or the birth of Jesus? Evidently, a group of scholars from the East were the only ones to notice it, or at least to recognize its relationship to the prophecies of the coming Messiah. We don't know if these wise men visited within a day or two of Jesus' birth or several months later. We do know that they came to Bethlehem, but not to the stable. We know it took them several months to organize for their travel and make the journey. We also know that the star they saw initially indicated that they needed to get to Israel, but it did not lead them there. Uncertain where to go, they went directly to the capital in Jerusalem to ask where they might find the newborn king. The Hebrew scholar cited Micah's prophecy that he would be born in Bethlehem. The wise men rejoiced when the star reappeared to direct them to the child. And the star, which they had seen in the east, went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. After coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
Worship the King. when we worship the King. We will worship. We'll worship the newborn King.
The central message of Christmas is not sharing meals and gifts with family and friends. It is that God, in His mercy and grace, sent Jesus into the world to provide forgiveness and eternal life for us, worthless, wretched sinners, who could do nothing to save ourselves. It is a marvelous truth of divine glory set against the dark backdrop of human depravity. Those who understand the meaning of the holiday don't just celebrate Jesus' birth. They worship the newborn King.
You know, if you get through this month without truly worshiping this King, then you really have missed the whole point. You've missed the whole point of the celebration. I don't think we need to, I'm not suggesting that what we need to do is jettison all of the holiday trappings, but we do need to realize that all the holiday trappings are trivialities. They can also be distracting. We can get so busy and so caught up in all of the commercialism, the decorations, even the songs and music of the holiday, that we fail to actually focus on worshiping the King. And that's what we came to do today. Like the Magi, we've come to worship that newborn King as we remember His birth. And so what I want us to do now is have a congregational song. Turn to number 224. It's a song about that. It makes reference to the event the choir was just singing, the choir and I were just singing about, the visit of the wise men, but there's also a nod to the shepherds as well. As with gladness men of old did the guiding star behold, hailed its light, leading onward, so most gracious Lord, may we evermore be led to Thee. It's a song of our coming to Christ for worship at this time of year. Let's stand together as we sing. We'll sing all four verses.